Inshallah, a brief lesson of hadith will take place. Request to participate. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد إن شاء الله continuing and carrying on with the chapter of باب الحلم والأنات والرفق the chapter of حلم and أنات and رفق I think by now we need to know what these three words mean حلم أنات and رفق حلم forbearance farsightedness patience tolerance Bardasht, quwwata bardasht. How patient you are, how tolerant you are, how far-sighted you are. Anat, calmness, to be calm, to be relaxed, to be chilled out. Warifq, to be soft, to be a soft person. In all of our dealings, to adopt a soft approach. So, a few, inshallah, today I'm hoping to complete the chapter, but we do have a few hadith left. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بال أعرابي في المسجد فقام الناس إليه ليقعوا فيه فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوه وأريقوا على بوله سجلا من ماء أو ذنوبا من ماء فإنما بعثتم ميسرين ولم تبعثوا معسرين رواه البخاري سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه رواية فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک دیہاتی نے مسجد نبوی کے اندر پیشاب فرما لیا تو لوگ اس کی طرف چلانگ اٹھے تاکہ اس کو مطلب روک لے اس سے لیقعو فی کا مطلب اس پہ گر پڑے تاکہ اس پہ گر پڑے تو نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فوراً فرمایا دعوہ اس کو چھوڑ دو وَأَرِيقُوا عَلَى بَوْلِهِ سَجْدًا مِّن مَائِن اور اس نے جو جس جگہ پہ پیشاب کیا اس جگہ پر ایک بالٹی پانی بہا دو چونکہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے تم لوگوں کو بھیجا ہے تمہیں بھیجا گیا ہے میسرین لوگوں کے لیے آسانیاں پیدا کرنے کے لیے اور تمہیں اس نہیں بھیجا گیا لوگوں کو مشقت میں ڈالنے کے لیے So this حدیث سیدنا ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ narrates that a Bedouin دیہاتی Bedouin man he urinated in the masjid of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم Of course, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, the masjid was not like the masjid of today, like a beautiful carpet and easily recognizable, okay, this is a masjid. A person would think it's just a piece of land because there was no carpet, it was just soil, it was dirt, and the structure had been erected on top of just land. So this person was a Bedouin man, he had never been to the masjid, so he walked, he thought it was a private place for him to relieve himself, so he started to urinate. So فَقَامَ النَّاسُ The Sahaba, they rushed towards him لِيَقَعُوا فِيهِ To stop him. لِيَقَعُوا فِيهِ means to fall upon him. So the ulama say to fall upon him meaning either to forcefully stop it, what are you doing? Or to, you know, shout at him, use harsh words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed this person starting to urinate and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed what the Sahaba were about to do. Before they could do it and as soon as they started, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said دَعُوهُ leave him alone. Stop, leave him alone. Let him finish. وَأَرِيقُوا عَلَى بَوْلِهِ سَجْلًا مِّن مَّاءٍ. And after he's finished, then pour a bucket of water over his urine. Basically, wash it out of the masjid. And then Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, you have been sent, and this is addressed to the Sahaba, and addressed to the whole Ummah in extension, that you have been sent muyassirin, to make things easy. You have not been sent to make things difficult. So let's break this hadith down. A person is urinating in the masjid. Our first, especially if this is the place where we're performing salah five times, and the Sahaba, their whole life would be in the masjid. Many Sahaba would stay in the masjid. That's Sahaba Sufa. So for them to see someone urinating there, you can imagine, you know, the automatic anger and frustration. It was natural for them to rush towards that. And it made sense for them to do that. But automatically we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hilm here, farsightedness. He's not one of us. If a Sahabi who was sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this, then it's possible to say, what are you doing? You know the rules. You know how things are supposed to be. You know masjid is a place of purity. It's not a place where you relieve yourself. But this person doesn't know. So automatically, in a split second, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified this man to be an outsider, identified that he does not know the rules, identified that by stopping him, it's going to cause him physical pain. If someone's trying to urinate and you stop them halfway through, that is very painful. He's going to have to stop, then he's going to have to go outside, then he's going to have to relieve himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, it's a fixable situation. One is where a situation is not fixable. Even though it's a bit of inconvenience, but we can fix it. It's more important not to cause a person harm. You can avoid the bigger urine spillage by telling him to stop, but then the person is going to be caused harm. It's more important, and this is the usul and rule always, that we never harm a Muslim. Never harm a Muslim. When Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narration mentions either Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu looked at the Kaaba. I think it's Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the Kaaba and he said, O Kaaba, how beloved you are. And how beloved you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how pleasing you are and how amazing you are. Yet the blood of a Muslim is more valuable than you. The blood of a Muslim is more valuable than the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer sees the house of Allah and he says, how can I ever disrespect the house of Allah? How can I even face my feet towards the house of Allah? How can I do anything, you know, bi-adabi, disrespectful with the house of Allah Ta'ala? But when we look at another Muslim, we don't think anything. We think this is, you know, open, you say anything about him, swear at him, backbite about him, harm him. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, disrespecting his house is less of a serious issue in comparison to hurting a Muslim, harming a Muslim. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam automatically weighed all of this in the head. So this was the hilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining the softness. That you have been sent. So firstly the ulama said this is addressed to the Sahaba. Because the Sahaba were the people who were going to spread Islam to the far corners of the globe. That you people, your job is to spread Islam in an easy way. Make things easy for people. Don't make things hard for people. Always have a softer approach. Have a relaxed approach. Have a forgiving approach. You know, understand the situation. Don't be hasty, don't rush. Again, anath comes in here. Don't rush to do something without thinking about the harms that this will do. And it's mentioned that in another narration, that the Bedouin man, he realized, you know, what's happened there. And after he finished, he said, O Allah, forgive me and forgive Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't forgive anybody else. He said, forgive me and forgive Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't forgive anybody else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled so wide that you could see the back of his teeth, and he said, Laqadid, you know, you have restricted something which is very vast. Allah's rahmah and Allah's forgiveness is so fast, you've restricted it to just me and you. But Allah's forgiveness can shower every single person. But he smiled because he understood why the man said it, because he was just shocked at their behavior and he was so pleased at the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, inshallah, we'll continue. وَعَنْ أَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا مُتَّفَقٌ عَلِيْهِ. سيدنا أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه روایت فرماتے ہیں کہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ آسانیہ پیدا کرو اور مشکلات مت پیدا کرو, نہ پیدا کرو. لوگوں کے لئے آسانیہ پیدا کرو اور لوگوں کو تنگ حال میں مت رکھو. وَبَشِّرُوا اور خوشخبریاں پھیلاؤ. وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا نَفْرَتِ مَتْ پھیلاؤ. So this hadith, a beautiful hadith, very important hadith, one of the hadith that Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought in his Arba'een, his 40 hadiths, because of how important this hadith is as a principle, as a usul, in our dealings when it comes to people. That Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is narrating that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Yassiru, make things easy for people. Yassiru, same. وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ You've been sent to make things easy for people. Yassiru, make things easy for people. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا Don't make things hard for people. Make things easy for people. Understand each person. What this person is capable of doing. Look, Allah Ta'ala in the Qur'an gives us the usul of this. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ Have as much taqwa of Allah as you are able. Have as much taqwa of Allah as you are able. Everybody's ability of taqwa is different. That's why they have a usul, a principle. حَسَنَاتُ الْأَبْرَارِ سَيِّئَاتُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ حَسَنَاتُ الْأَبْرَارِ سَيِّئَاتُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ مُقَرَّب Someone who is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, high ranking, pious people. And then you have abrar. Abrar are your pious people who are a bit lower, who stay away from sins and do Allah Ta'ala's worship. You become abrar. Nek. That's it, pious. And muqarrab is closer. You know, it's high ranking, awliya, saints. Those things which are good actions of the abrar can be a bad action of the muqarrab. Because at his level, he's supposed to be even more particular with following every single sunnah, with always having a good opinion of Muslims. We talked about the story of Imam Abu Abdullah al-Andalusi. Do you remember with the long story we talked about? And he said, when I looked at these Christians, I automatically felt, Alhamdulillah, you know, when Allah's protected us. And, you know, we're not like these people. We're better than these people. He just felt this and Allah took everything away from him. Because you're held to much stricter, you know, accountability. That you should know better. So muqarrab is always, you should know better. It's a very fine line. It's a very, very, it's very difficult. It's like, you know, Allah Ta'ala has honored you, favored you. If you don't appreciate that, you get dropped straight away. And you don't drop to abrar level, you drop to totally, you're finished. It's a very, very risky path. But risky as in, Allah Ta'ala chooses you, Allah blesses you, you're supposed to know better. Same with ulama. It just depends on who you are. Wherever you are, you're based on what you are aware of. Someone who knows can't be the same as someone who doesn't know. Allah has given you ilm, your behavior is supposed to be much better. Your approach to things, your understanding. On the day of Qiyamah, the person who had knowledge of something is going to be held to much stricter, you know, account. Like you knew better. Why were you behaving the same as him? Anyone as Muslim, as Iman. Muslim, Allah Ta'ala has made us, granted us blessing of Iman. I know the difference between Iman and Kufr. I know the importance of practicing upon the things of Islam. So why am I adopting the ways of someone who doesn't? Sunnah, as a Muslim, sunnah. Every single sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be held precious. A Muslim doesn't do it. An average Muslim does not practice someone's sunnah, but he says, you know what, inshallah I'll do it. You know, it's just me, I'm a weak Muslim, inshallah I'll do it. He can still progress. But if a Muslim says, I don't think it's that important really. I don't think it's a big deal, that sunnah. I don't think it really matters. The ulama said that could take him out of the fold of Islam. Everywhere in the Quran, wherever Allah Ta'ala says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ Allah says, وَالرَّسُولُ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ Obey Allah and His Rasul, Allah and His Rasul, Allah and His Rasul. And a Muslim turns around and says, I don't think that sunnah is a big deal. I don't think you need to do it. I think it's extreme. I think it's too much. The ulama say, the fatwa is that you will leave the fold of Islam straight away. You will leave the fold of Islam straight away, you need to renew your iman. You're supposed to know better. If you didn't have iman, and a non-Muslim, and he says something about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let him talk. He doesn't understand. But you as a Muslim, Allah and then his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is part of your nasiha for Allah and his Rasul. Always, whatever Allah Ta'ala wants me to do, I will be in line. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requires me to do, I will be in line. I will not say a word against it. Even saying things like, you know, says the kaddu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved food, was kaddu, bottled gourd, they call it. See? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa loved that. He would pick it from around the platter and he would eat it. Now if someone says, I hate kaddu, astaghfirullah. Somebody says that will take them out of the fold of Islam. A Muslim who knew that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa loved olives. Someone says, I hate olives. It will take you out of the fold of Islam. Very dangerous. Allah's Nabi sunnah, one is saying, you know, I need to get myself used to it. Or saying it in a way you're very careful that ihana, and a disrespect and, you know, mockery of the sunnah does not take place. It's very, very important. There was a so-called Muslim famous radio personality, this and that, and he was wearing a t-shirt, and now he had some depiction of Sayyidina Musa alayhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and something really strange. And he was saying, it's a joke. I'm a Muslim, it's a joke, it's a joke. You know, Muslims should be light-hearted, it's a joke. But his joke was so terrible that it had taken him out of the fold of Islam, and he's saying, it's just a joke. You know, all you Muslims are becoming too extreme. It's just a joke. This is not a place that you can make a joke in regards to. So, anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, yassiru wa la tu'asiru. Make things easy for people. So I was saying, understand the level of people. Someone's just become a practicing Muslim, don't expect too much from them. A young child, a young person, doesn't have that level of understanding, don't expect too much. Take things easy, you know. That's why even when it comes to, you know, teaching, ta'aleem, teaching people, the ulama say, you know, ulama ul-rabbaniyun, the God-fearing ulama, are those who teach smaller branches of knowledge before they teach bigger branches of knowledge. They understand everybody needs to have a stepping stone system. You need to progress slowly. You can't throw people in the deep end, they'll stop doing it. And even when people put things on themselves and they throw themselves in the deep end, they stop doing it. How many young people walk through North Hafiz? We've seen it in this masjid and so many places. Young people, straight away, I'm going to do this, Quran tilawat. They don't leave the masjid and they do this for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, and then they've gone. They're gone for years. They're gone for years because they made it difficult for themselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadha ad-deen yusrun. This deen is very easy. وَلَن يُشَادَّ دِينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Anyone who makes deen hard for them, deen will become so hard for them that they will leave it all behind. They start the hajjud, they drop the hajjud. They start salah, they drop salah. And this is a plot and an agenda of shaitan to make you think, oh, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Oh, this is boring, this is boring, this is boring. I don't really want to do this anymore. I don't really want to do this anymore. And they're finished. Everything finished. Salah goes. Quran goes. Salah goes. Everything goes. So that's why take things easy and a stepping stone system and build up. We need to start at the bottom. I'm not doing tilawat of Quran. Okay, so on a daily basis, let me at least read one page of Quran. One page of Quran is hard for me. Let me read half a page of Quran. But every day I've got to read my half a page of Quran. And then one page of Quran. And then maybe, you know, in the future, I'll build up to 2 pages of Quran. But let me do something that I can be consistent about. Not something which is too difficult for me to bite off. The whole, in our deen, so much emphasis is placed on consistency over, you know, josh and over extreme enthusiasm. Be consistent. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُ. Don't make things hard for people. Always give people an easy path. And one of the hadith is going to come later, that the Prophet ﷺ said that Umm al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha narrates, that Rasulullah ﷺ, whenever he had a choice, he would always choose the easier thing. He would not go for the hard option, he would go for the easy option. And the ulama say, in deen and in dunya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go for the easy option. This is when it came to the ummah and the people emulating him. Otherwise, there were times where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would engage in extra ibadah and things that are very difficult for us to do. Okay. However, when it came to choices, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make an easier choice to show the ummah that, look, do this one. One sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, is hajj fard? Hajj is fard, hajj is fard. Is it fard every year? Fi kulli amin. Every year is hajj fard. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be very careful about your questions. If I said yes, just yes, hajj would be fard on you every single year. Don't ask questions that you don't, you know, you're not anticipating the response. If the response was yes, what would you do? You've basically put the whole ummah into such mashaqqat and hardship. Hajj is fard every single year for every single Muslim. So don't make things hard for people. The ulama say here, look, you can just say yassiru. Make things easy for people. You know, always be easygoing, always be relaxed. You can just say make things easy for people, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have left it. So if I'm time to time easygoing, then I've practiced on the hadith. I'm easygoing time to time, practice on the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Never make things difficult for people. Matlab, all the time. Whatever decision you do, whatever interaction you have with people, always make things very easy for them. Always be very easygoing. Always be very lenient. Always be very soft. Very overlooking. Very forgiving. And this was how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. This man who came and urinated in the masjid. And this is what the sahaba learned, and the tabi'un, and the pious predecessors after them, the ulama, learned. Understand who the person is. And in this day and age, there was a great scholar in India, Shah Wasiullah Ilahabadi rahimahullah. He was very strict in the beginning. Because people would go to him to get close to Allah Ta'ala, to change their ways, to get good akhlaq and to rid bad akhlaq from their lives. He was very strict. He
He would shout. He would make people stand up and hold their ears. You know, people would come to him. He said, you come here to get rid of your arrogance. I will get rid of it for you. Don't worry about that. In the later part of his life, he just became very relaxed. Now, the earlier people who were with him said, Sheikh, he's a very different person. And he says, I've realized this is an era of softness. If you're too strict in this era, you're going to break people. You're going to put people off. You're going to do more damage than good. This is an era where with softness, with ikram, with kindness, with affection, that should be our main approach. However, some people who are very close to you, who understand fully well, and you know that by being strict with this person, it's not going to affect him, and you have that wisdom, then you be strict with that person, because they might need it. Sometimes a person becomes so close to a pious person, an alim, and then he starts to think, I'm something special, I'm always with him. You know, every time the alim is going anywhere, I'm the one saying, oh, I'm, you know, looking after the alim, and you have to go through me, and I'm the... So he starts getting full of himself, so the shaykh now needs to break him down. That don't get too big-headed. You're with me because I've allowed you, not because you're special. You know, so it's about understanding who's where and at what level. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَبَشِّرُوا, and always give glad tidings, good news. You know, give good news to people. وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, don't put people off. So the ulama say, this is why when it comes to even talking to people, positive message. You will be fine, it's okay, don't worry, you've got plenty of chance, you've got plenty of time. You'll be, you know, talking to a sick person, ill person, you'll be back on your feet in no time. Always give a positive message. Allah knows reality of what's going to happen. But by giving the positive message, you are going to give that person confidence, you're going to give that person positivity. And what do psychologists say? When a person is positive, many times illnesses and all this, they get better. Yeah? So, positive message, وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, and never, you know, put people off. On the basis of this, the ulama say, don't just talk to people about Jahannam and Allah's adab and Allah's punishment, but always combine it with Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiveness, Jannah and blessing. Always combine them. That's exactly what Allah Ta'ala does in the Quran. Whenever Allah Ta'ala talks about, you know, the people of Jannah, Allah Ta'ala talks about people of Jahannam. Allah talks about the people of Jahannam, Allah talks about the people of Jannah. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Surah Al-Rahman, everywhere you look, these are famous common surahs. But everywhere, wherever Allah Ta'ala talks about Jannah, Jahannam, Jahannam, Jannah. So it's that iman is between khawf and raja. You're hopeful of Jannah, oh yes, Jannah, so amazing and so easy to get there, and Allah is so forgiving. But Jahannam, oh, I need to be careful. Make sure that I'm always guarded. I don't fall into disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. وعن جرير بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من يحرم الرفق يحرم الخير كله رواه مسلم. سيدنا جرير بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه روایت فرماتے ہیں کہ میں نے سنا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو ارشاد فرماتے ہوئے کہ جس شخص کو رفق نرمی سے جو شخص محروم رہ گیا وہ تمام بلائی سے محروم رہ گیا. جو شخص نرمی سے نرم گفتار مطلب بات چیت میں نرمی اور اسی طرح نرم کردار ان چیزوں سے اگر محروم رہ گیا تو تمام بلائی سے یہ محروم شخص محروم رہ گیا. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیدنا جریر رضی اللہ عنہ narrates that I heard رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم saying whoever has been deprived of softness has been deprived of all types of goodness. Someone who doesn't have softness, the opposite of softness is harshness, strictness, firmness. So someone who is always harsh, always strict, always stern, this person has been deprived of, you know, all forms of goodness. And there's a quotation here from Faidul Qadir of Allama Munawi rahimahullah, that al-rifqu fil umuri kal miski fil uturi. Al-rifqu fil umur, being soft in all of your dealings, is like musk in comparison to all the other fragrances. Like the best of fragrances is musk. Similarly, the best person is the one who's a soft person. Everybody likes them. And subhanAllah, another beautiful hadith is going to come. I'll mention it first because it's connected. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala ukhbirukum biman yahrumu ala an-nari aw biman tahrumu alayhi an-naru tahrumu ala kulli qareebin hayyinin layyinin sahlin. Rahu Tirmidhi. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, should I not inform you of someone who Jahannam is haram on them, or they are haram upon Jahannam? Jahannam is haram upon every qareeb. Qareeb, someone who's close to the people. Close to the people, you know, very easy going. People find it easy to talk to them, close to, they don't separate themselves from people, you know, aloof from people, high and mighty, difficult to talk to.
Hayyinin, again, easy going. Everyone who's very easy going, very relaxed. Layyinin, very soft. Sahlin, all these are kind of synonyms. Sahlun, layyinun, hayyinun, very easy going, very soft, very relaxed, very, you know, close to the people. Jahannam is haram upon these type of people. These are everybody's favorite person. I want to talk to two people rather than talking to the stern person. But there are some people who look for stern people. And for a good reason. If I talk to the soft person, so it depends on you, isn't it? If someone is knows right and wrong and they understand and they go to level, for example, we had a great muhaddith, Sheikh Yunus Ab Jaunpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. You study with him, Jamil, did you see him? Sheikh Yunus Ab Jaunpuri rahmatullahi alayhi was very stern. Very stern. But all the big ulama would go and sit with him. And he would shout at this one, and he would tell this one off. And we're talking about people, my teachers, they were in the 50s and 60s, telling this one off and telling that one off and telling. But they're going there for that. They're going there for the islah, you know, to break themselves down. That's why they're going there. So they know they're going to someone who in their mizaj is more garmi. That's why they say this, Jalal and Jamal. You know, Jalal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat, Jalaliyah. Allah ta'ala has certain qualities of Jalal. Of awe and of reverence, and certain sifat, qualities of jamal, of beauty. Now when you have a person who does a lot of dhikr and tilawah of Quran, then what happens? Allah Ta'ala's sifat start reflecting on this person. Some people, the sifat of jamal start reflecting on this person more. And some people, the sifat of jalal, now they can't choose. It's Allah Ta'ala's choice. That's why you have certain awliya. So you're saying, Muftisab's talking, he's sitting here talking about all these softness and soft. But I've met some pious people who are so strict. And they were. In Bangladesh, you had Maulana Nuruddin Gohurpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. So strict. You're close to him. Who are you? Where have you come from? What's your name? You know, he's very strict. People would say, he's very strict. But there'd be flocks and lines of people who would go there. And subhanAllah, if you hear this man's story and you hear his, you know, incidents of his connection with Allah Ta'ala and his miracles and things like this, it's ajeeb. So when a person starts doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the person's natural affinity, and these are from the secrets of Islamic spirituality, some people, the jalal side opens up. Now, they will help people, but it's through a reflection of Allah's jalal. And others, it's a reflection of Allah's jamal, but these are for high-ranking people. But for weak people like us, whose job is to just listen and obey, we're supposed to always adopt a soft approach. Yeah? Is that clear? Does that make a difference? Are we understanding this? There are many buzurgs. In Pakistan, there was a scholar I was listening to today, Mufti Zarb Ali Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi. Also with jalal. Very strict. But subhanAllah, you listen. So much ilm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. I was listening to a talk today where he said, I met Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam twice in my life. Right? He was saying an incident where when he was in the third or fourth year of alim class, and then someone came to him and they said, Our father is bedridden and he's been bedridden for 14 years. And he urinates in his bed, he excretes in his bed, he's just almost paralyzed and he can't do anything. And my mother, she's almost depressed because of just doing his khidmat, just looking after him. Please, you know, is there something we can do? He said, he was a student in the fourth year. He's a very intelligent student. But he was saying, at that time, I didn't believe in amils, you know, amil. You know, someone who reads certain Qur'an, certain ayat, and can do amazing things. Through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukam. He said, I used to think all amils are fraudies. All amils are fraudies. So he said, did you go to the doctor? He said, we've been to all the doctors. Nobody can help him. So he said, I said it sarcastically, loudly. If only there was some amil in the world who could help your dad. Maybe there's some amil. You know, as sarcastically. Because I was in that state of mind where all amils are frauds. People who say, oh, I'll recite Qur'an and this will happen. I'll recite Qur'an and inshallah you'll get better. He said there was a man sitting there doing wudu. And he was just watching me. And after that person had gone, he came to me. He said, Hafizab, you think all amils are frauds? And he said, oh, I've never met a true amil. We know so many amils living in Karachi, they're all frauds. Many of them are sahid, the magicians. He said, what if there is an amil? What if there is an amil who would help that man? He said, then I want to see him. He said, okay, but there's some conditions. What are the conditions? He said, I'm going to come on a certain time. Nobody's allowed to get up for me. Nobody's allowed to move around. First condition. Second condition, nobody's allowed to give me any food or give me any drink. Third condition, after I have left the room, nobody's allowed to look for me. He said, that's fine. He said, no, 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 no. Bring a Quran, take a qasam, put your hand on the Quran, that's what you will do. I said, okay, I thought he's serious. So I did this, put my hand on the Quran, I took the qasam. And then he said, I'll come tomorrow at this time. So he said to me, he was about 5-10 minutes away from the madrasa, that person, as he went. He said, that person came and he just started, you know, sniffing the walls, and he started sniffing. And then he goes, okay, there's some clothes, they opened those clothes. They opened that clothes, a piece of flesh, meat fell out. So put that over there. Smelling over here, he said, open these things, piece of meat from there, piece of meat from there, piece of meat from there. He said, gather them all together, dispose of them, get rid of them. Then he went to the old man who was lying in his bed. He said, Urja, get up. You know, like, get up very sternly, get up. The old man said, he stood up and he said, walk. He said, diwar pakar ke chal. Hold the wall and walk. Because the old man started to hold the wall and started to walk. Until the wall ended, now there's no more wall. He said, carry on walking. And the man carried on walking. And then he said, remember my conditions. And then he said to Mufti Sahib, well, he wasn't a Mufti at the time, but he said, one day you will teach tafsir and you will teach hadith. Make sure you don't have a misunderstanding that there are people like me. And he said, I am one of Allah's servants. There are so many servants of Allah like me who can help people through the Quran and through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he left. So Mufti Sahib is saying, I firmly believe that was Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam. That this bad or wrong opinion I had, that all amils are frauds, and anyone who says, oh, I can help, there are people who are frauds. Peers who are frauds. These who are frauds, you do have that. But it doesn't mean that a person starts thinking everything is wrong, because then we're going to lose out. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going from one thing to another. Chola, I'm saying some buzurghan deen, some ulama, some pious people are strict, naturally. And that's the jalal in them. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, great muhaddith. He had so much rub, so much jalal. People would find it very difficult, you know, when they would sit in front of him, they'd be very, very careful of how they would behave, how they were. Straight away he would tell them off. Whereas Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was so mellow, so relaxed. And this is no, you know, both of them are great imams, but this is the jalal and jamal at play. The jalal was in Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Everybody says this, he's jalal. Everybody was scared of him. You know, they say we're scared of our sheikh, scared of our teacher. And Imam Abu Hanifa, they were so chill, relaxed in his gathering. This person is talking, he's talking, they're talking. Everybody's talking over each other. And he's sitting quietly, letting everybody talk. He only talks when someone asks him a question. So a difference of temperament are there in the Buzurghan Deen and the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our usul is that we should always adopt a soft approach, because we don't know any better. None of us are on the level where, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala's sifat have opened up onto us, and naturally now there's a jalal and jamal. You can't change that person. And that person, even if they're jalal and garam, people will flock towards them like a magnet. Allah will make that happen. We're not like that. We always have to have a soft approach. Err on the side of softness. Be soft. And that's the message that we learn in this chapter. There's a few more hadith, inshallah. One or two we'll do next week, inshallah. Are we all ready to do this, inshallah? Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. SubhanAllah.